Morning. Oh, well. Come on, let's all stand for a few moments. Let's all stand. Can we do that? See people sitting down there. I'm ready. Are you ready? Turn the person beside you and say, I'm ready. I've had a good night's sleep. I'm awake. I've had my caffeine. Ready to go. But before we do that, where's Peter Shirley? How are you, man? The Holy Spirit just laid you on my heart last night. And I know that you've been through a season where it's just been a real struggle. But I just really felt the Holy Spirit drop into my spirit. It's a brand new season. And I can see it on your face. There's a fresh energy. There's a fresh anticipation. And so what the Lord's saying is that all that you've been through has got you to this moment. And there's fresh energy. There's fresh strength within your legs. There's fresh, strong shoulders to carry the load that God's put before you. And as you anticipate this new future, you're going to see an endless stream of grace coming into your life that's going to take you further than you ever thought, even imagined, that could happen in your time. It just seems like you've been born anew. It seems like you're 21 again. And God's given you renewed youth and vigor that's going to carry you through in Jesus' name. I'll be watching you. I'll be watching you. And this couple here, Paul and Lynn Morrill, my good friends from 20 years ago. And I know you've been through stuff over the years. But the way you've been able to access the grace of God and the strength of God is through worshiping Him. And I just felt the Holy Spirit whisper in my spirit, don't lose that ability to worship. It's your key to access the grace of God. And as you keep doing that, I just believe that new windows are going to open in your soul. New thoughts, things you've never kind of even thought of will get in there, and you begin to think, am I too old for this and that kind of stuff? And the Holy Spirit will say, no. There's no aging in your spirit. We can't do much about this. But you guys are looking really good for your age. I don't know how old you are. Let's pull out of that one. But there's no age in spirit. It's all about your vitality and your ability to connect to the generations around you. So it's not over. It's nowhere near over. Keep worshiping God and accessing the grace of God. You'll be amazed what God does within your life, especially in the next 12 months. Now, this girl playing this thing over here. How are you, my friend? What's your name? Jemima. As you began to worship there before and lead in worship, I just got a picture of you. You're on your knees, worshiping God, crying out to God. Saw the tears coming down your cheeks. And I just believe that God is forming you. You're already a worship leader, but God is forming you in a greater way to take people into the presence of God. As you've learned to access the presence of God in your struggles and those kind of things, you're going to have the ability to stand before people without saying a word. You begin to worship God, open your heart and open your spirit, and the presence of God is going to fill the house because you've learned to access the presence of God. When you just think, oh man, is this worth it? But you've dropped on your knees. I see it. I see in your bedroom. You've dropped on your knees. You've got your hands reached out to the Lord and you're just worshiping Him. Hey, He's honing something in your spirit. Don't underestimate your future and don't underestimate what God's doing in your heart. Amen. You're a good girl. You're a good girl. Amen. Okay, let's take our seats. Wow, Jemima. Remember that name, Jemima. Look out, darling, check. In New South Wales, I know I'm in Tasmania, but in New South Wales, which is a little bit of a part of Tasmania, we have 7.4 million people. In the ACC in New South Wales, we have 345 churches. And you might say, oh, that's cool, but if you kind of divide the population by the number of churches, each church should have 20,289 people in it. So I just thought I'd do a little similar thing to Tasmania. So I think in Tasmania, if I've done my research correct, there's 515,000. There's 24 churches. You should have 21,459 in each one of your churches. Who's close to it? 21,459. Come on, mate. It's time to get serious, eh? So we can say, oh, yeah, God's doing, you know, great things in our church, and no doubt he is. But don't let us get too carried away of how good we are. Let's get carried away of how big the harvest is. I believe that's a great leveler. It should be a great encourager for us. Like Jesus says, come on, lift up your eyes, look on the harvest. Oh, we've got 20 people in church. We're doing so good. Or 50 people, or 200 or 400. And all that's fantastic. It's a work of grace that God has done within our lives and in our churches. But always lift your eyes to see the harvest. God. Then we think, God, where are the laborers? Where are they? Thank God for Reverend Steve. It's up here and it's telling us about volunteers, and I'm going to get that booklet. I want to know how to recruit more volunteers. But God does encourage us. He says, pray to the Lord. Come on, guys, help me here. Pray to the Lord of? Who owns the harvest? Who owns the harvest? It's the Lord's harvest. So he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field. Come on, listen to me. Less stress, more prayer. Less stress in your prayer and more anticipation that God is going to answer your prayer. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Go out and just pray, God, that as I get on my path and as I do my duties, that God, you're going to lead me to people that are going to become part of the answer in seeing our communities one for the Lord Jesus Christ. My title, my message this morning, in my next session, I want to speak about the relevance of the Holy Spirit in our churches. But in this session, I want to speak about hungry leaders. Hungry leaders. And I think this, that hungry leaders build effective churches that create strong reach into our communities. And before an outreach is an outreach, it's got to be a value. We can put a special event on, but if we haven't put the value in there of what we're doing, the value of a soul, all we're doing is kind of blowing in the wind. Hungry leaders build effective churches that have a strong reach into our community. I think hunger is a healthy appetite. Are you hungry? I've just got a little fear. God, deliver me from my fear that sometimes we lose our hunger. Because when you're hungry, you do something. When you're hungry, you'll do that course. You'll go the extra mile. You'll put in the hard work. Because hunger is something that is healthy. And I'm praying that God raises up a whole new generation within Tasmania, within Australia, a whole new generation of hungry leaders that want to build something effective, that have a strong reach into our communities like we've never had before in Jesus' name. Hungry. Let's look at something for a moment. World records of eating. Someone ate 5.9 kilos of meat pies in 8 minutes. Yeah, he was from Tasmania. Hot dogs. 68 hot dogs in buns. They ate them in 10 minutes. Hot dogs in buns. Some guy over 40 years ate 12 Big Macs a week. 26,000 Big Macs over 40 years. That's quite something. He was from Ulverston. How about this one? Sausages. 110 sausages in 10 minutes. That guy was the president of Alpha Crucis. I'll come. Yeah, I know if I go for a run with you, who's coming back? Okay. So hunger. Like, I had breakfast. I had a beautiful breakfast. I'll tell you what I had for breakfast. I had 2 pieces of toast, and I had eggs easy over, and a tomato. It was an interesting thing, because when you got eggs easy over, what does it mean? They're cooked both sides, is that right? So the lady brings the eggs out, and they're sitting there, but they weren't cooked the other side. So I said to her, can you flip them over? So she takes them in, turns them over, but they weren't cooked the other side. She just turned them over. That person was from Hobart, you know. So hunger. So we had our breakfast, but I guarantee in a few moments, we're going to be hungry again. Because yesterday's meal doesn't satisfy today. Are you hearing me today? Yesterday's meal does not satisfy today. Now, here's a thought. We all do hunger. But it's what you satisfy your hunger with that's of the ultimate importance. Now, if I'm hungry at lunchtime, I can make the choice of having something healthy, or I can choose to have KFC, which is not bad occasionally, or I can choose to have a pizza and everything fatty. But my sons are pretty big guys, you know, 6'1", 6'2", and just they're big guys. And they're funny. You go out for a meal with them and they'll say, yeah, I'll have a pizza, I'll have a whatever, and I'll have a Diet Coke. I don't get that. Yeah. What I usually say, I'll have a salad and a full-blown Coke, you know, and but it's what you satisfy your hunger with that determines if you're going to end up being healthy. So maybe hunger's not the issue. It's how we satisfy the hunger which determines our future health. Would you agree today? What are we feasting on? There's an interesting scripture in Genesis 25 and verse 29 that reads like this. And you, when I talk about it, you'll know the story very well. It's when Jacob and Esau, you know, they were brothers, and Esau was the huntsman kind of guy, and Jacob was the guy that stayed at home and he cooked the meals, did the sewing, did the ironing. It was one of those guys that just like the home duties. And one day when Esau was coming in from the field, Jacob was cooking up this beautiful stew. And I don't know what if you've experienced this, but I live in a cul-de-sac. And sometimes when I'm driving down that little cul-de-sac, you know, to my gate, my neighbor is cooking a barbecue. And I've arrived home at 6 o'clock. I haven't eaten since breakfast time. And I am starving. And I get out of my car and I can smell the barbecue. Doesn't it do something to you? And what I want to do many times is just peer over the fence and see if they've gone inside for a moment. Jump over, take the stuff, get back in my car and drive off, you know. But yeah, I wouldn't do that because I'm a Christian and I'm from New South Wales. But there's something about the smell or the sweet aroma that when you're hungry, you want to go for it. And he was Esau, he came in from the field. Listen, he came in from where? The field. And just a side note, pastors and leaders, that when you come in from the field and you're exhausted and you're tired, watch what gets your attention to satisfy your hunger. This is where some people get themselves into trouble. They get themselves so exhausted. They kind of go for things that cannot help them in their future because they're trying to satisfy their hunger without really thinking of the consequence. And this is what Esau did. Esau said, give me some of that stew. And he said, yeah, I'll give it to you, but it'll cost you some. It's going to cost you your birthright. Doesn't matter. We may be tired and exhausted and we come in from the field and something tempts us this could cost you a ministry. Oh, it doesn't matter. I just want to be satisfied now. Hey, you've got to learn to back off from those things, because the momentarily satisfaction of satisfying your desire on something that is not of God will jeopardize your future or sabotage your future. So when you're tired, when you're vulnerable, be careful what you do to satisfy the now need. Talking to Joel last night, he says, what's important for your future? How come you continue to go? I said, number one, keep yourself fresh, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself fresh, keep yourself pure. Pretty simple. Don't get contaminated by kind of satisfying yourself short term that has long term consequence. So hunger. But let's get in the positive. Let's look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, and it reads like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger, who thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. I just want to encourage each one of you. Keep pushing your desire and your hunger. Push it in the direction of righteousness. Push it in the direction of getting to know God, to becoming the person that God wants you to be. Come on, we need hungry leaders that know how to kind of satisfy ourselves in the presence of God. And we keep coming back and keep satisfying and keep on being filled with the presence and the substance of God. So I just want to share a couple of things that I think we need to lock into that we can satisfy the hunger within our heart. Number one is this. I've got 45 of these. How you going? This is a great conference, isn't it? I couldn't think of a better place to be right now than here. We've got our conference in 2 weeks, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm not only ministering, I'm receiving from you guys. You guys are healthy. Healthy. Number one, a hunger to know God. Oh, I just can't get somewhere satisfied, and I watch TV and then I watch this, and then I drink too much, and then I'm taking sleeping tablets and I'm taking anti-anxiety tablets and all that kind of stuff. Hey, if you need that stuff, that may be okay. But I want to tell you, let's get it back to basics and have a hunger for God. Interesting scripture in Daniel 11 and verse 32, in the first and the second part of it, it says this, and I've known this scripture for years and so have you, and it's, but I've kind of looked at it and said, yeah, that's true, but never really looked at it. And it says this, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Who knows that scripture? You've probably taught on it. You've probably quoted it. And this is how we think of it. They that know their God will do great exploits. That's what we see. But what it says is that they that know their God will be strong. Oh. Nothing better than a strong man. We live in a day, let men be men. Let women be women. Strong women. But it says, they that know their God, it's not only say we'll do great exploits, but they that know their God will be strong. I know this, that when I'm strong and when I'm confident in God, the dare is there more. Are you hearing me? The dare is there. Dare to launch out and have a prophetic word. Dare to launch out into that new adventure. Dare to make that change. Dare. There's a dare there when we get to know God and we're linked with God, because when we're linking with God, there's always that exchange, the weaker for the stronger. And when we're strong, you know, in God, we just, man, come on, world, council, you want to oppose us for that building? Come on, impossibility. I look at you in the eye, and for spirit of faith, you will come down in Jesus' name. You get that determination in your eye. Why? Because they that know their God. And I know it's an evolution that happens in our life, that our strength is ever increasing. But they that know their God will be strong, and they'll do exploits. Bold, daring, strength. Philippians 3 and verse 10 reads like this. I love this in the message. This is Paul. He says, I gave up all inferior stuff. Isn't that cool? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and all those other things that we don't like to talk about, you know, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I like the resurrection. But you've got to understand is, before there's a resurrection, there's a death. Some of you need to die to egos, comparisons, inferiorities. Die to those things that you experience the resurrection power of Christ. So they gave up all those inferior things. And, you know, Paul had a lot of things to brag about. He was a smart dude. He was very, very smart. He was learned, educated, the highest in religious, you know, theology of the day. But he says, I gave up all that inferior stuff. Not that's not important. It is important. But when it comes to comparison to know God, it seems like inferior. So I gave up the kind of the inferior stuff of my image, of how I look or what others think of me. I put that aside, that I can know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That indeed, that I can be conformed to his death. And let me talk about death for a moment. Who likes talking about death? The older you get, the less you want to talk about it. This is what I've experienced. I just find that sometimes as a pastor, I feel that during the week sometimes, I'm dying. Things are going on in the church and you feel it in your spirit and there's that tug of war and there's that warfare going on. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those spooks, but you just know that there's something going on. And then you hear of things and you go to church on Sunday and you just kind of go, I hope some people are there. But you go there and there's life and there's vitality. That's why Paul says, death works in me, that life can work in you. So if you feel like you're dying, but you get there on Sunday and there's life, bring it on. But if you feel you're dying and you go to church on Sunday and it's dead, you've got a problem. You call that the devil. Begin to break through it in Jesus' name. Oh, I love God, don't you? So get to know God. I want to give you another way of getting to know God, and that is to wait on him. What are we doing? We're building hungry leaders. I don't want to kind of build you up emotionally when you get out of the conference or what was all that about. I want to put some substance in your spirit, some railway tracks within your life that you can get out of here and you can go on and say, man, I remember that. Yeah, I want to be hungry. How do we do it? Yeah, we get to know God. We wait on God. You know the scripture, Isaiah 40 and verse 27, it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? Forget about Jacob and Israel. Put your name there. My way is hidden from the Lord. And my just claim is passed over by my God. How come you are blessing Pastor Dave? And you look and say, man, I'm better than him. I'm more righteous than him. Sometimes we can get this in little seeking. You kind of think, man, where is my promise? Where is the fulfillment of my promise? But why do you say your way is hidden from the Lord and your just claim to the promise of God seems like it's left and gone? I want to tell you, look at me now. God has not forgotten you. I've been in the same church for 31 years. And when we started off, man, my peers, man, they were going miles in front of me. And here is me, God, I'm stuck in flipping Liverpool and everyone else is growing and prospering and their numbers are up and that kind of stuff and I'm struggling and that kind of stuff. Where is my promise? Where is my promise? Oh God, where is my promise? God, I'll threaten you, I'll quit if you don't break through. Look at me, keep your spirit right, keep your heart right, keep working the process. You'll look back and say, wow, God is faithful. He's faithful. Your way's not hidden from the Lord. He's hiding things for you. Not from you. He's hiding things for you. And at the appropriate time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. If you keep a right spirit and a right attitude and keep loving God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Listen, he's not faint and he's not weary and he has not forgotten Tasmania. His understanding is unsearchable. Listen, he gives power to the weak. To those who lack might, he increased the strength. You might say, what do you talk about strength? I tell you what, I'm not that strong. I'm not. But I know where my strength comes from. Are you hearing me? I remember when I first started pastoring, man, every Monday I'd be exhausted. You got Phil Pringle coming to speak to you tonight or this afternoon. And he came to our church once and he prophesied over me. He says, John, God's going to give you strong legs. He's going to give you, you know, a strong back that you can carry the weight. And I said, oh, great. From this day on, I'll be strong and that kind of stuff. Got up the next morning, I was worse. Takes a while to kind of make the transition into strength. But God's done something in my life from that time to now where I don't know where the strength comes, but I can carry a load. And I want to encourage you today that God will strengthen you. He will hold your hand. You can fulfill the purpose and the promise that God's placed within your heart. But I don't feel strong. Exactly. The strength comes from Him. I haven't got that ability. Yeah, your ability comes from Him. Come on, you just got to present you. And those who lack might, He increases the strength. Let the weak say they are strong. Even youths shall faint and be weary. I talk to some young people, man, I got more vitality than they have. Your strength will take you a certain distance, but it won't take you to where you need to go because we're in a spiritual battle. You need to get it from God. I believe in being fit, you know, and doing your runs and all that kind of stuff. You know, I believe in that. But there's a strength that you need that comes from God. And young men shall utterly fail. But listen to this. It's positive. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Whoa! Psalms 84 says, you will go from strength to strength. So those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll go from strength to strength. Each one of them appears before God in Zion. What's the good news? You're going to make it. They shall mount up on wings of the sea eagles. Oh no, of wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can someone give me a chair, please? Just a chair. Ordinary chair. Thank you. I thought this guy was British, but he tells me he's German. What does John do? You may not know John. I am hyperactive. You may think, why is John so skinny? He never stops. I can only drink one cup of coffee today. Any more than that, I'm always on the move. I lose weight sitting down. But every day, I train myself just to sit. I've got a few things on my mind. Got my church, got our campuses, got the state, got the national, and we've got grandkids that crawl all over me and all that kind of stuff. Just sit down, shut up. My prayer life has changed from to speak to me, Jesus. Speak to me. So I've got my little chair. Get my tea, my coffee in the morning. My wife's not allowed to talk to me. My wife can talk. Oh, my God, she can talk. Don't you talk to me in the morning. You save all that up for later. Or go and talk to someone else. But it's my time with Jesus. I'm not saying you do in the morning, but somewhere you've got to touch Jesus. I used to do it on my iPad. I'd get my iPad out. Start to read. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I love you. I think I'll check my emails. Oh, let's look at Facebook. Oh, they're saying that. Oh, wow. Good. Let's just look at this. An hour later, man, John's had a good time, but no God. So now I get the old paper machine out. Whatever works for you. I'm too easily distracted. So again, read it. Got to learn to switch off, switch on. Are you hearing me? What are we doing? We're building our hunger. Learn to sit down, slow down. You know, some of us live the illusion that one day, things will quieten down and I'll have that time where I'll be able to spend with God. You know, when we just get over this little hump with the church, and when the kids do this, and when I get this, and when I get that. Listen to me. It's an illusion. And it's a lie, almost. It's an illusion, it's a lie, and you're just going to learn to sit. Mary and Martha, you know, what are they doing there? Jesus at their house, and Martha's running around, doing this, doing that, and those things needed to be, you know, food needs to be served. Candles need to be switched on or lit, you know, and stuff needs to happen. But you know what happened with Martha? She was distracted with her serving. And she says to Jesus, Martha, Martha, Mary, Mary, she's just sitting there. You know what Jesus said to her? Listen, and he did not knock Martha. But she says, at this moment, she has chosen the good thing. So Jesus is not saying you should not serve, but don't let your serving be a distraction from his presence. Maybe she was saying, maybe Jesus was saying to Martha, hey, your serving does not get my attention. You're trying to get in the good books with Jesus? Don't do it by serving. You do it by getting into his presence. And in his presence, because you've touched his grace, there's a serving that comes before you. There are times and there are seasons for everything. But there are times you need and I need to sit at the feet of Jesus and let him satisfy your hunger so you can rise up and be mightily effective in Jesus' name. You know what my prayer is as well? Look at me. Whoop. Jesus, heal my distracted heart. I'm with my wife, but I'm not with her. I'm sitting in conference, but I'm looking at my Facebook. I'm talking to my grandkids, but I'm preoccupied. I don't mean to be nasty, but man, don't let your iPads and your iPhones ruin your life. They're great technology. I guarantee there's people sitting here now and you're going through stuff, going through it. I don't care what you do, really, but it's not helping you. Because the longer you live distracted, the less ability you have to be focused. And we wonder why our relationships are not working. We wonder why we can't touch God. We wonder why we lack strength, why we lack strategy. It's because we're continuously distracted. Even where we are not. And I'm not having a go at you, I'm having a go at me because, you know, my devotions, I just told you, if I use my iPad, man, I'm all over the place. I pulled myself up in church the other night. Someone was preaching a great message and I phased out and I start to answer emails. I smack myself around the side of the head. John, you got to stop that. Be focused. Be where you are, because if you're not living where you are and you're not giving focus, you're losing that ability to connect with people, with a message, with God, with the very thing that can save your life and drive you forward. We think we can multitask. You're having yourself on. There's only 2% of the population that can do it a little bit. That is, you can talk about mathematics and be on the phone talking to someone. I know that we can do little multitasking, you know, like women can wash the dishes and talk. You know, I understand that. And that we can kind of drive our cars and talk, but you can't SMS and drive your car. Who's found that? I heard of someone doing that the other day and just about ran up the back of someone, you know, and they told me that it was someone very close to me. It was me. And see, there could be answers to why you're not focused. Are you hearing me? And it may not be that you're not smart enough. It may be because you're too distracted. It's like the man who comes to Jesus and he's got a son that's not well. And Jesus says, do you believe? And the man says, yes, I believe, but heal my unbelief. I'm praying, God, heal my distraction. Get rid of my divided heart that I can worship you, that I can be present and focused where I am. You cannot multitask. Because every time you try to do something else, you got to stop what you do, and then you leak energy, you lose focus, and you lose efficiency. So every time you try to do two things at once, you've got to stop one and do the other. I know we do it really quick, but in the middle of that, there's a leakage where you lose efficiency and focus. You just know if you're doing a sermon and someone distracts you, how long does it take you to get back into it? And all these little distractions are causing us to leak. Effectiveness and efficiency. Come on, hungry leaders. Let's get a head around this. I haven't got all the answers. There's the problem. You've got to learn to fix it. Can we say this? Look at your neighbor and say, shut the door on distraction. Shut it. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. You're putting yourself into a place of being a hungry leader. Hungry leaders become good feeders of themselves and become good feeders of others. Do you want me to go a little bit further? Hello? Okay, I'm only up to point one. I've got 46 to go. Okay. If you're hungry, and you'll understand what I'm saying, it signifies you don't dwell on past accomplishments or failures. If you're hungry. Because you're not kind of looking back, you're looking forward. It's kind of funny about hunger is that you're satisfied, but then you're not satisfied. You're always reaching for more. And as a pastor and a leader, I don't believe that we should be driven, but we should be moving ahead. So we're not driven or striving, because striving is human effort. And God says, if you want to strive, you do that, but I'm pulling out. But when we just learn to walk with God and work with God, it's kind of not striving. There's a linking together of our abilities to move forward. So you're not kind of just dwelling on accomplishments. You accomplish something and then you say, what's next? You hearing me? I remember I did a favor for someone. And if I ever do something for anybody, I'm like you, I don't expect to get paid back for it. Just, there's no strings attached. Who hates it when you do something and there's a string attached? So I did this favor for this guy, and he said, oh, how can I repay? I said, mate, you don't have to repay. We don't work like that here. We do it, forget it, move on, praise God. He said, I want to take you out for dinner. I said, if you want to take me out for dinner, that's fine. He said, I want to take you out to a really nice restaurant. I said, okay, that's fine. So I go to this really nice restaurant. He said, this is a very expensive place. I said, oh, man, I'm not into it. You know, I'm happy with ordinary food. You know, potatoes, pumpkin, mince, that'll do me. No, he said, I want to get you the best. Okay. So he says, the lamb here is very good. Okay. He said, I recommend that one. I said, okay, lamb rack with whatever. $150. I said, man, I can't justify that. He said, I want to bless you. Well, just give me the $150, you know. So I ate it and that kind of stuff. And it was a good night and hallelujah, you know. But I want to tell you, the next morning I was still hungry. Are you hearing me? That sits as a memory, but it really doesn't help me now. And I just think in our accomplishments, you know, you may have accomplished something great in the past. You may have built a building. You may have grown your church and all that kind of stuff. Hip, hip, hooray. That's great, fantastic. But if you're hungry, it's still in the future. You still got to get 20,000 people in the church. You hearing me? Okay, to be hungry. Next one. Better move on. Is you're curious. You're curious. Who likes smorgasbords? Oh, yeah, baby. Now, this is my secret. When I go into a restaurant and there's a smorgasbord, I just don't walk in, grab my plate and say, no, what I do, I go look around everywhere. I look at this station, look at that station, look at that station. Then I go back to my seat. And I sit there. My wife will say, what's wrong? No, nothing's wrong. It's fine. You go. I'll look after the handbag and all that kind of stuff. So she, but what I'm doing, I'm thinking about, what's my plan of attack? Yeah. If I'm in a hurry, it's dessert first. Because life's short, you know. So you go for the salad, then you go for this and that kind of stuff. And so I get it all out, you know. She says, oh, you're quick. I said, well, I just thought about what I want, you know. And I just believe that if you're hungry, it's a smorgasbord. You come here and you just think, yeah, I'll pick that up. I like what Joel said and I like what Pastor Dave said and I like this. And then you go to somewhere else and I like this. And, you know, you satisfy your hunger from a smorgasbord. It's just not one feed satisfies everything. We've got to be good gleaners of truth. We've got to be good gleaners of the diet that we need that's going to take us in the direction of life. And I just believe that hungry leaders, they're curious. They're curious intellectually. They're curious emotionally. You know, a hungry leader is someone who reads books and does intensive research on Google. Sorry. Reads newspapers and articles and listens to podcasts and reads books and reads people and reads situations. They just don't sit back. There's something happening in their life. Why? Because they're curious. Is that true? Now hear this. You may not agree. I've thought about it and I think it's true. Curiosity is more important than knowledge. Because certain parts of knowledge have a use-by date. I've got an iPhone. What was the first iPhone that came out? Was it a 5? A 3. So I had one of those. I knew everything about it. Now I've got an iPhone 6. It's a different ball game altogether. So the knowledge I knew there was okay, but it doesn't help me now. And there's certain parts of knowledge, you know, about being strategic in churches and planning and that kind of stuff. What you knew in the 1980s and that kind of stuff. If you're trying to make it happen today, it may not work because society has changed. The humanity is the same. The kind of the needs are the same, but they're met in different ways. And the way we do church is different. So knowledge is good, but knowledge needs to be expensive. And 2 Corinthians 8:7, Paul picked this up and he says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech and knowledge, what he says, your knowledge is increasing. And then he goes on to say, hey, make sure that you increase in generosity and those kind of things. So knowledge is something that's expandable and you got to keep on stretching. Amen. Hunger. This is a little problem I've had over the years. Who likes being honest? Yeah, not too honest. Okay, you know, I've been in the same church 33 years. Have I been full of vitality? Have I been hungry all the time? No. Sometimes I just get tired. Amen? Sometimes I just get over it. But it doesn't mean that I'm spent. So what do you do when you lose your appetite? What do you do? I don't want to go to the conference and I don't feel... Man, that's the place you need to be. I don't feel hungry. We'll go to the doctor. Get the pill. I'm not saying literally, but... Go to someone that can find out what your problem is. You know, I go to the doctor. I don't walk in there and he looks at me and he has a word of knowledge. This is what's wrong with you. I go to the doctor and I explain to him my symptom and then he says, this is what's wrong with you. How many times do we go to talk to people? We don't tell them anything. We hide it within our heart. We don't tell the whole truth and we wonder why we walk away and our problem's not fixed. Learn to get honest with someone. These are my symptoms. This is what I'm going through. Come on, you're a practitioner. You've been doing this for a long time. What are some of the answers? And we've got to have people in our life that when we lose our hunger that we can get with and say, man, I'm not quite right, you know. And someone that's down the track a bit further and got good runs on the board that's a practitioner and they'll be able to reflect to you what you need to do. And what I've done over the years when I've lost my appetite, I haven't stopped reading the Word of God. Honest with you, I've left Leviticus and I get into Psalms. I tend to kind of relax more and kind of listen to worship more, but I will not, I made a determination, I will not isolate myself. My sickness is not terminal. It's not contagious. I have an issue. I am not hungry. But as I hang around hungry people, my hunger returns. Because I begin to look at what they're eating and say, man, that what you're eating could bring the balance within my life. May have been eating too much junk. Trying to do what others are doing without getting the real realization with my heart. Will that work? And that kind of stuff. You've got to get the right diet happening. You hang around hungry people, you get hungry. I used to sit in conferences and, you know, as a young pastor and this kind of stuff, and listen to all these people ask questions. I was like, oh man, I didn't even know the question to ask. Who's like that? No one. I wouldn't know what to ask. But I used to listen to them. I'd write down the question. That's a good one. So when I was at another conference where none of those people were, I was just thinking, I got this question. Man, that's a good question. Yeah, I know. So you learn to formulate your questions. You don't know how to formulate them. They're there, but you don't know how to formulate them. So listen to other people's questions, write them down, and you begin to ask the right questions in the end. You love this one. If you're hungry, you don't get stuck in ruts. I'm from Albury. You might say everyone has their problems. I'm from Albury. I was brought up on the farm. You know what we used to eat? We used to eat lamb chops, potato, pumpkin, broccoli. That's it. Sometimes we'd have chicken. That wasn't chicken. The chicken we used to have on the farm, mate, doesn't taste like KFC, believe me. It was horrible. So I was brought up in the country. And we were kind of stuck in the rut of this is all we used to have. But now I'm in the city and I pastor a multicultural church. We've got 100 different nationalities. I tell you what, the days of lamb chops, potato and pumpkin is still there, but there's so much more variety. What's the diet you live on? Is it just mono where this is all we do and this is the only songs we listen to and this is the only way we can do stuff? Are you opening your mind to other ideas that can come in and you get out of your rut? Because I just think, you know, it's satisfying to the human palate and it's good for your energies to have a variety of things that you're kind of eating and that are passing through your life and you're not stuck in ruts. So what I'm saying, open to new ideas. What I'm looking for, I've got an old problem. What's a new idea that I can solve my old problem? Because the ideas I've got at the moment, it's not feasting. How do you make connect groups work? How do you get volunteers active? Oh, I heard that over there somewhere. Yeah. Well, we're opening our world to other ideas and to other food and kind of different kinds of diet. And it's really going to help us move forward as we kind of look around. We look for the best solutions. We embrace the changes that will take us to a new level. Everyone happy? One last scripture, not finished. Proverbs 16 and verse 26 reads like this. The Message version. Appetite is an incentive to work. Hunger makes you work all the harder. A man's hunger drives him on. If you're hungry, you're healthy. Are you hearing me? What do healthy pastors do? They build effective churches. And they have strong outreach that they can see more people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. I had 6 questions to ask you, but I have not got time. So in the next life, I will ask you those questions. Hey, I love you. There's really hope. The Holy Spirit just stirs your heart. You know, you do this for a while and you just kind of stuff. You just want to kind of help people. You want to reach into people's lives. And I don't say I have all the answers, but if I can just get you questioning and you ask the questions, we're well on the road to be healthy. In Jesus' name. Looking forward to the next session where we talk about relevance of the Holy Spirit, but really love you and appreciate you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Paul.